It's ugly out there on Wall Street for tech investors. The tech-heavy NASDAQ is on track for its worst month in roughly a decade. A lot of the downfall has to do with an all-out assault on the once-beloved FANG stocks. I'm talking Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google parent Alphabet. Facebook and Alphabet are down 11% so far for the month of October. Amazon has tumbled 18%, and Netflix has plunged 20%.
The Trump administration is pressing ahead with its proposed Space Force, aiming to set up a dedicated military command within 2 years that would protect U.S. interests in outer space. The Trump administration will need Congress to go along, and many Democrats say there's no need for a Space Force, saying the Air Force is already on the job.
His voice has been around for nearly 50 years, but the man who brought Big Bird to life is retiring.
Hello, Big Bird.
Carol Spinney has played the oversized, lovable bird on Sesame Street since the show debuted in 1969.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program, and welcome to a new week. It is Monday, October the 29th, 2018, and it's 5:09 in the morning. Thank you for being with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. We're glad you're here. We've put together a really good broadcast for you this morning. First out of the gate this morning in our CEO spotlight, Mary Cousin will be here. She's the president, founder, CEO of Chicago Toy and Game. And we'll talk about toys, gaming, innovation ahead of Chi-Tag's event coming up in November. Also this morning, Dale Busk will be here a little bit later in the broadcast at about 5:40. Dale is a contributor at Chief Executive Magazine and Forbes. Today we'll be talking to Dale about Ford's new ad campaign and why Silicon Valley should be paying attention. That's coming up a little bit later on, so stay tuned for that. Let's begin first, though, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Stocks are heading into the new week after a lower session on Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ended the week's final day with a 297-point fall. The NASDAQ fell 151 points. The S&P lost about 47 points. Many analysts believe the trading is close to a correction phase, something that tends to happen when stocks are overvalued. Much of the fall on Friday is blamed on weak earnings. The Dow was down 3% for the week. The NASDAQ and S&P slipped about 4% for the week. This morning, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street, with Dow futures up about 48 points this morning. That's about 0.25%. S&P futures up about 1/3. NASDAQ futures up almost 3/4. In Europe, markets are generally in the green. In London, Germany, and France, up by nearly 1%, in 1.5% in Germany, 1/3% in London, in France, up just about 0.25%. And in Asia, markets are generally mixed, with the Nikkei going to end the day down a fraction, about 34 points. The Hang Seng is up about 1/3, and the Shanghai down about 2%. And oil is trading at $67.30 a barrel, which is down about 29 cents. A couple of stories before we begin this morning. You heard in the top of the hour news an air crash in Jakarta, Indonesia, off Jakarta, Indonesia, involving a Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft, a brand new aircraft, apparently crashed right after takeoff, trying to return to the airport, we're now told. This aircraft delivered by Boeing just 2 months ago, apparently. There may have been some sort of incident on that plane recently involving a technical problem that the company says was apparently taken care of. That'll be the focus as this crash investigation is underway. At least 188, perhaps 189 people on board the Lion Air aircraft that crashed this morning. We'll continue to follow that. IBM is buying the world's leading provider of open-source cloud software. The $34 billion deal with Red Hat announced yesterday. IBM is calling it a game-changer. IBM will become the world's number one hybrid cloud provider. We'll continue to build and enhance Red Hat's partnerships, including those with Amazon and Web Services, Microsoft Azure, and Google Cloud. Red Hat is a North Carolina-based company that was founded in the early 1990s. Front and center this morning, it's our CEO Spotlight. We're happy to have with us the president and founder of Chicago Toy and Game, Mary Cousin is here in our CEO Spotlight. Mary, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Oh, good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me. I'm
very excited to have you in this morning because I think we all like playing with toys. We all like games. You get to do this every day. This is your job as CEO, isn't it?
It is my job. And I'm really, it's incredible to deal with every day. The people that invented toys and games like Jenga, Bop It, Nerf, Twister, these are all fantastic people.
Let's define games for people, because before we went on the air, I asked you about this. How do we define the games that you that are part of your daily life? Is it the board? Is it the traditional board game type, or is it digital, PlayStation, that kind of stuff? What do you consider to be a game?
I think those are all games, and I think all play is good. I also think, though, that people should play different types of games. Like, you shouldn't just maybe center on electronic games. I think that face-to-face play is very important, and it's all about moderation and trying a lot of different things.
We're going to talk about the upcoming event, the Toy and Game Week, but I want to ask you some, you know, issue-related questions. First of all, let's talk about how the industry's doing. We saw Toys R Us go out of business and go bankrupt. There's some question about, you know, the ripple effect that that's having. What's the industry like, the toy and game industry like?
It's true. Toys R Us had a big effect on a lot of companies that aren't getting paid for their products that they shipped. That being said, toy sales are up this year, which is very exciting. And I personally and a lot of other people believe it's good that Toys R Us went out of business, because I don't know when was the last time you went into Toys R Us, but it was not a really happy place to be, right? Mm-hmm. There was just shelves. It wasn't colorful. It wasn't interactive. And we have ASTRA, which is the American Specialty Retailer Association based here in Chicago. And so all of their members, all those little toy neighborhood toy and game shops, they're very excited because they're seeing a pickup in people visiting their shops. And they do have bright and cheerful stores where people can help you and know the answers to questions. And they have events there. And I think in the long run, not having Toys R Us around will actually sell more toys and games.
And I think, at least when I think of a toy store, I think of the quintessential pick your holiday movie toy store, where, you know, you walk in and it's sort of got the brick front facade, and you go inside and all the toys are going and there's all kinds of different things happening. And FAO Schwartz kind of reminded me of that when you had that in New York. That's the kind of store you're talking about.
Yes.
Those mom and pop stores.
Yes, absolutely. And FAO Schwartz is coming back.
Yes, that I was going to just ask you about that. So that's good news that we're seeing sort of a resurgence in some of these toys. And I know Walmart is going to start picking up some more toys, and there's always Amazon, but that's not the same, is it?
No, that's not the same. I know a lot of people will go try toys and games in the stores and then order on Amazon, which isn't so great, but right. But I do think people crave the experience today. So many people are about experiences that the neighborhood toy stores are doing well, which is very exciting. So,
And toys are being invented every day, new
yes.
toys. That's what I find hard to believe, because I was having a conversation recently with some friends, and they just assumed that the last toy that they played with was, or game that they played with, was the last one ever invented. But it's cool that this is going on even as we speak.
It is. In fact, Chicago has more toy and game inventors than anywhere else in the world. Just as one example, BMT, Big Monster Toy, at 21 South Racine, they have 30-some people there that do nothing but invent toys and games all day long. It is awesome. I mean, think about Cards Against Humanity is here, Ty, you know, Beanie Babies, Tomy. I mean, we just have, and Radio Flyer.
Look, yeah, Radio Flyer.
Radio Flyer's here, but so many toys that nobody thinks about. Classics like Rock'em Sock'em Robots and Mousetrap and Inchworm and Light Bright. They're all, Uno.
Uno, yeah.
I mean, it's shocking. The list is just thousands and thousands long of things, toys and games that were invented here in Chicago.
What is that process like? I'm sure you've met some inventors personally, quite a few of them, I bet.
Yes.
What's the process like for inventing a toy or game?
Well, I did start as a game inventor back in the 90s, and it's kind of, it's everyone thinks it's easy to invent a toy or game, and it's so not. Like, I went into it thinking, I'm smart, I can figure this out, and no, there's definitely magic in every game and in every toy. And you just really, the secret is to play test a lot and really accept that feedback. A lot of new inventors, and I probably know more inventors. In fact, I'm sure I know more inventors than anybody else in the world. The secret is to actually listen to what people say about your toy or game or your idea. And a lot of, especially new inventors, don't do that. They don't listen. This is their baby, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to tell someone their baby's ugly and and it's just, you know, it's not always well received. So
yeah, I'm not going to be the one to do that. I'll let you do that. I'm sure you probably have on a couple of occasions. What is it like? And what you said you were an inventor. What's the mindset like of an inventor? I guess you have to have sort of I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would imagine that you'd have to have a sort of a childlike, happy-go-lucky personality, or no?
No, that helps, absolutely. Mm-hmm. To look at everything with wonder, inquisitiveness, excitement, yes, you need that. But I think the most important quality is persistence. There's a Calvin Coolidge quote that I can't remember the whole thing now, but it's all about persistence. That is the most important thing. And it is, because there's thousands and thousands of people invent things every year, and you have to somehow get your idea out there for the companies to see. And that's actually why we started our inventor conferences. So we have the world's largest toy and game inventor conferences right here in Chicago at Navy Pier the 2 days before our fair. And people come from 25 countries for these inventor conferences. And more deals probably happen at these conferences than anywhere else in the world. And we do have tracks for professional inventors, like those people that invented Twister, Nerf, Jenga. And we also have a new inventor track. And the companies will see both. And so we have all the big guys. We have companies from overseas. They all come in.
Why don't we hear more about who these people are? Why?
I don't know. Yeah. It's a great question because consumers want to know the story, right?
Yeah.
Every consumer wants to know the story. And if you sell a million songs, you're on a cover of Rolling Stone, a million books, New York bestseller list. But if you've sold over 80 million Jengas, like Leslie Scott has, nobody knows who you are. And so part of our mission is to get the public to know these cool toy and game inventors. And they are really awesome people. And we do have a lot of them at our fair. And they all do come in for the Toy and Game Inventor of the Year Awards that we host at Navy Pier's Grand Ballroom. And the public is absolutely welcome to attend that. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's got to be fun to see toy and game inventors sort of riffing on each other. And so it's awesome.
What would you do to change that? I know you've already been working on promoting some of this and making sure that we all know who these people are. What is that process like? What would you like to see happen?
I would like to see like them known just exactly like their creative counterparts in film, restaurants, music, you know, the literary worlds. For me, I mention them every time I go on any show. We make up top Trump's decks, like baseball cards with inventors on them. We try all different ways to get people to meet these toy and game. We bring them to stores, even like Building Blocks, a local store. We've brought the inventor of Utter Nonsense, who is based here in Chicago. We brought him there. We brought Brady Peterson. I mean, I think we had four or five inventors there, and they got to talk to influencers and the public, and the people love meeting them, absolutely love meeting them. So we know the public wants to know the toy and game inventors.
Yeah.
So.
And you've been working with the tech community to sort of get this off the ground.
Yes. I'm based out of 1871.
Yeah. So tell me about that work and how the tech community can help in this matter.
So I have a bigger goal, and so it's interesting, and I love being a part of 1871. It's fantastic, but it's I'm working on a large database of a big platform. So just like the IMDb, sort of like IMDb meets LinkedIn for the toy industry. So let's say you want to know who invented Jenga. You can just go in there and type, and then this whole profile on Leslie Scott will come up, which will be awesome. But let's say you're a new inventor and you want to find out where do I pitch? Where do I go? You can, so like the IMDb, which I bet a lot of people who are listening don't know about this, but there's something called the IMDb Pro. It's a whole other level of the IMDb where you can go in and find resources. So we're building that. And it's going to be a game changer, I think, for our industry. Or another example, like if you're the toy acquisition guy at Hasbro, right, and you're going to Israel And you want to find every single inventor in Israel that you can meet with while you're there. So you can go into this platform and you can just Google, not Google, sorry, you can search, for all the Israeli toy inventors. And then you can reach them all and meet them. So I'm really excited about this new platform. And it's a real game changer because also the public will get to meet everybody, right? And then just like IMDb, it'll be able to rank the toys they're interested in. Right? Like who they're checking on and who's trending and who's. So I think it's going to be it's a really exciting development. And we have a very large database, so I know we can pull this off.
Part of what you do, too, is also encouraging young people to become toy inventors, game inventors, especially young girls, young women. Talk about that work, if you will.
Yes, it's a passion project, our Young Inventor Challenge. It's our 13th year for our Young Inventor Challenge, and these kids come from all over the country, Mexico. We had, I think, 10 kids from Mexico last year, and they can also enter via video. So what's exciting is last year we had three teams get licensed by two companies, two from Play Monster out in Beloit and one from Goliath Games down in Texas. And these kids are going to have their toys and games out in the market next year, like actually being sold. And then 2 years ago, we had two 10-year-old girls out of Palos Heights, one, and their game is currently selling at Target, Ship of Treasures.
Oh, nice.
And they're doing great. They're great kids. They're even donating a percentage to Lurie's Children's Hospital, which none of us knew about. These kids are really – in fact, you can come to the fair and you can meet these kids. We get feedback from a lot of our fair attendees that that's their favorite part of the fair is meeting these kids. It's like a – think of it as a science fair, but they're showing off their toy and game ideas.
And I was impressed to hear that some of the other already established inventors are there kind of giving pointers to some of these young kids.
So we have the top toy and game inventors in the world, top buyers from Target, from Walgreens. They're there going through judging these what these kids have brought. And really, they said this is one of their best events all year because it's a give back, right? And they get to talk to the kids and they are reminded of why they're in the industry. And it's cool.
Can somebody get rich inventing a game? Is there?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like Matt Kirby, the guy who invented Apples to Apples. There's a great story. So he had this giant game, like huge, with all kinds of components, right? Like all tens of stuff. The game's like 3 feet wide. So he's pitching it for 3 years, like just company to company to company. This is where persistence comes in.
Yeah.
And finally, he goes to out-of-the-box games, and he pitches it to them, and they're just listening. And then one of the owners just takes the deck of cards and throws out 95% of the game. And Apples to Apples was just that deck of cards.
Wow.
And Matt Kirby doesn't have to work another day in his life, like, ever.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, nice. Well, let's talk about the event this year. It's November 15th through the 18th. Toy and Game Week is what it's called, Chicago Toy and Game Week, Chi-Tag for short.
Yes.
What's happening at this year's event?
So we have the inventor conferences on Thursday and Friday. Then the Toy and Game Inventor of the Year is Friday night. Then Saturday and Sunday is the fair. And at the fair, we have so many fun things going on, like the Young Inventor Challenge we just spoke of. But we have the Stratego Tournament, which has a lot of prizes, great prizes. Then a lot of companies bring like live versions, giant versions of their games. Like for instance, Goliath Games has Greedy Greedy Granny, and she's like stealing your cookies, quite literally.
Yeah.
We have like giant slides, giant activations of like car, like racing cars. I mean, even the Boy Scouts are there with their Pinewood Derby made out of Legos, which will be fun. We have Razor. You can scoot around on Razor scooters, try out the different ones, see which one you like best. Gosh, there's so many things we have going on. It's hard to like. We have Santa this year. Yeah, Magformers is bringing Santa. We're really excited about that. There's just so much going on. Toys and games from all over the world, and like I said, the inventors are there, and you can really give feedback to the companies too, and they'll listen to you, which is awesome.
So I think you might have broken some news there. Santa outsourcing the toys to these young inventors, to all these inventors in Chicago.
It's true. I mean, we do work for Santa.
Yeah.
You know.
Let me ask you this, and because you mentioned some of the people, some of the stars, if you will. How many of those folks are going to be at the event, and will we be able to rub shoulders with some of
Absolutely. Yeah, people. We've got the top toy and game inventors coming from all over the world. Like, for instance, for Lifetime Achievement this year, we're honoring Shoot the Moon is the name of the company, David Small and Paul Rago out of L.A., the L.A. area. And just think about this. They have top sellers with every single company right now. At Hasbro, they have Nerf Laser Ops. At Moose Toys, they have Rapples, and they have another one with Moose that's a top seller. They have at Mattel, like Barbie's Dream Horse, awesome. At Spin Master, they have Hatchimals, Babies, that whole Hatchimal line. Can you imagine being one inventing company and having top hits at every single company? It's wild, right?
And the Hatchimals, that's a big deal.
Oh,
If I have little nieces, and that was, it's still, again, this year, that's all they've asked for.
Yeah, the Hatchimal Babies, right?
What is your favorite toy?
Oh, so that... when I was growing up, it was the Easy Bake Oven.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love the Easy Bake Oven, and I still love to bake. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, so the inventor of the Game of Life, this great guy, Reuben Claimer, so he's like 96 years old, and he's still inventing, by the way. He is still pitching and inventing.
Nice.
So he went in for his quintuple bypass, and the surgeon said to him, "I only became a surgeon because the only time I ever wanted the Game of Life is when I was a doctor." Yeah. So, you know... Mm. That's, I think toys have a big impact. You know, the one thing that all serial killers have in common is they didn't play as children.
Really?
Yeah, there's a TED Talk on this. It's really interesting. Stuart Brown, who heads up the International something of play, International Bureau of Play or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's... Play is important.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What are the latest studies on play? As you mentioned, the serial killer thing is really scary, but I would guess that just your brain function probably is better if you're playing games, especially if you're challenged by a game. There probably are health benefits as well.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there are studies that show that kids that play games, especially the strategic type games, because it's teaching them something called SI, strategic intelligence, which is the highest form of IQ, is that you can raise your at 16 points. You can raise your IQ by 16 points by playing these games. Because think about that. In school, you're just learning to test. You're not learning to think ahead, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what games do. And they also, they socialize us. There's a really interesting program in LA, and I was trying to get it to start it here in Chicago, but it's a lot harder than one would think. And there's a superintendent there. She started a program called From Gangsters to Gamesters. And she would sit down the different gangs and they would play games together. And you know, when you're playing games with somebody, your defenses are down, right? So you start to understand you have more in common than not. Right? I know with my own kids, when I would play a game with them, they would give up a lot of information without thinking about it, right? Like, and that's what people do. Your defenses are down. Plato, the 2,000 years ago or however long ago, he said you can learn more about a person in an hour of playing games than in a year of conversation. And it's true.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's for my family at Christmas time, there's a couple of nights of games during the holidays. And that's how we sort of course, you know, we all kind of get loud, and you know, that's expected. And then even today, as an adult, there's game night once a month at least.
Oh, nice.
For adults, and that's a lot of people are doing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's game cafes are popping up everywhere. Yeah. It's crazy. Like, it's exciting to see this happening. And even bars that didn't have games before, they're featuring games. And Starbucks everywhere seems to have games now. Barnes & Noble is starting up game nights. So
what is on your if you had to look ahead maybe 5 or 10 years, do you think much is going to change in this area? If you had to predict something about the future of games and toys and playing, what would it be?
I think that there's still that not only are we going to be around with both traditional and digital toys always, because tactile is very important, face-to-face is very important. I think game sales and toy sales will continue to increase. Especially, I know we mentioned this earlier about Toys R Us, but I think that everyone is looking for that experiential, and now that they're going to be going to their neighborhood toy stores and Target's getting more experiential, I think that people are going to be buying more toys and games.
Yeah. So, again, the event this year is November 17th and 18th at Navy Pier. Does it cost to get in? And I heard there's even a beer garden.
Yes, I know. We're really excited about the beer garden. It's our first time trying the beer garden. And it started because of adult games being so incredibly popular, right? you know, which I think Cards Against Humanity really set that one going. But so we have an area where you have to be over 18 to play, but we also have a part of the beer garden where families can also play games. So that's really exciting, like Sculpt-a-Palooza and some of the really fun games. But yes, we have the beer garden. Very, very excited about that. And we also have a baby and toddler play space. We've kind of corralled them all into an area so they can play and not and be safe, right? The beer garden thing, that cracks everybody up. But I can't wait. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But you're right, it's the 17th and 18th at Navy Pier. And if you're an educator in the military, police, media, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, they all get in for free. Oh, you can see that nice. On our, because these are groups that should be recognized, and we've always welcomed them. But you can get tickets online or Groupon, Living Social. You can find tickets anywhere, and I think we're going to have a WGN special discount code too. That if you watch the WGN social media, you'll see it there too. But I hope everybody comes out to play with us.
Can't wait. Well, I think we're all very excited about it already.
Great.
So, Mary, thanks for coming in this morning. It's nice seeing you in person.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Mary Cousin, the founder and president, CEO, Chicago Toy and Game, Chicago Toy and Game Week, November 15th through the 18th. The big event is at Navy Pier. The Inventor Conferences begin November 15th and 16th. The Toy and Game Fair itself is November 17th and 18th. You can find more online at shytag.com. Again, shytag.com, and follow them on Twitter at ShyTagWeek.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
We're back on our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. Thanks for being here with us. Ford's new ad campaign includes the slogan, Built Ford Proud, and appears to be throwing down the gauntlet to Silicon Valley. Dale Buss is a contributor at Forbes and Chief Executive Magazine. He has written about this in his latest article at Forbes Magazine. We're going to bring in Dale this morning. Dale, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Great. Thanks for having me.
Interesting story here. I think some of us have probably seen these ads, including the Breaking Bad actor Bryan Cranston. Tell us what Ford is trying to do here.
Well, big picture is Ford is trying to figure out how to find its way under CEO Jim Hackett. It's been about 18 months since he was handed the baton after his predecessor, Mark Fields, was kind of personally shown the door by Bill Ford, the family representative and executive chairman. And Hackett has just been a little bit slow in, you know, both saying what it is he wants to do to lead Ford out of the wilderness and in demonstrating what he's going to do. So the stock has not responded favorably. It's like at a 9-year low. So that's the bigger picture. What Ford is trying to do in this new marketing campaign is provide some hints about, you know, what Hackett is going to do. And so Ford's doing interesting things with some new products. They're introducing a new Ranger midsize pickup. The new Bronco is on its way. But in the meantime, he's got to find a way to put Ford back on the map with Americans and explain what this company is all about. So basically this new ad campaign, Built Ford Proud, kind of harkens back to the Built Ford Tough positioning that the company's always used for the F-150 pickups. And the interesting point about the campaign, besides talking about product, is that he takes some shots at Silicon Valley and what I call Valley values. So you've got Ford competing with Apple and Uber and Google for the future of the car in terms of automated driving. But right now, Ford is taking, you know, as I mentioned, some shots at Silicon Valley by using the Bryan Cranston character. He says things about Just Talk. He acts like this kind of Steve Jobs-like character leading a session. There are some other digs at Tesla. Ford ad says that it doesn't plan on sending its vehicles into space at any point. So the ads are just kind of full of these little digs, and it's an interesting kind of attitudinal approach by Ford as the company itself tries to figure out you know, what it's going to do.
Yeah, a couple of good lines, too. He says, while Escape has never been shot into space, it is proudly sitting in more than 2 million garages. He also dresses up as the Data character from Star Trek. You mentioned the Steve Jobs look-alike segment of the future isn't created in a keynote address. Those seem like pretty direct shots at Silicon Valley.
Well, they are, and Ford is, you know, there are two things they're playing into here. First is, I think, from kind of an industry point of view, there's this incredibly important competition between the traditional metal benders like Ford and General Motors and Toyota, the Germans, you know, for the future of the industry. And literally that's what it is the future of the industry when it comes to autonomous vehicles going to be controlled by the Silicon Valley companies, the Apples and Googles, or is it going to be controlled by traditional automakers? And, you know, say even 2 years ago, it looked pretty bad for the traditional industry, but they've really come back in a big way and said, hey, we're doing our own software, we're doing our own everything. Yes, we're going to have alliances with Silicon Valley, but when it comes to controlling the brains of the car and the future of the industry, you know, we want to be in control. So there's that going on. But the other thing is Americans are growing increasingly kind of frustrated or at least hesitant about how Silicon Valley controls not only their technology but their lives. So you've got these hearings that have gone on at Capitol Hill with interest in how social media, you know, take things politically, maybe a bias against conservatives. You've got a lot of privacy issues. You just get this general tone deafness about the leadership of Silicon Valley, which is kind of personified by Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, who just doesn't seem to understand that all the control that they have over data and our lives and our time makes people uncomfortable. So that's one of the things that Ford is tapping into and saying, hey, look, you know, they're making you uncomfortable. Meanwhile, we're making pickups that you love.
Yeah, and there's the trust issue, too. I think for a lot of us, we've, the heritage of this company speaks to its trust when it's dealing with some of these future things, and maybe to the lack of adequate publicity surrounding what it's doing. It's involved in future transportation projects for cities. It's actually working on, you know, mobility issues for vehicles. It's working on autonomous vehicles as well. So it's not that it's not in those areas.
No, absolutely. The problem for Ford has been that, I mean, it's great in this ad campaign to make people feel a little bit squeamish about Silicon Valley, but the problem for Hackett has been, okay, well, what's your solution? What are you going to do? And the issue of how to deal with autonomous driving is one of the big things that got his predecessor canned. But Hackett, you know, who was the CEO of Steelcase, he's not an auto guy, and so people are giving him a little slack to figure out the auto industry, but he just hasn't come forward with a vision that people can understand and really grab onto. Yes, Ford is working on all this stuff, and it is illustrated in the ads, some things about its automated driving technology and mobility services, but he doesn't have a vision. He's not saying, this is what we're doing, this is how it's going to be different than what everybody else is doing. And so people, including investors, are still waiting for that.
And the investor part of this is important as we look at the stock price this morning. It's at $8.98 a share. Talk to us a little bit about how significant the economic and investment problems are for Ford.
Well, really significant. Mark Fields, again, Hackett's predecessor, one of the big bad numbers of his tenure was that the stock price languished by 40%. In the few years that he was in charge. Well, it's gone down another, I don't know, double digits, 15, 20%, something like that, under Hackett. And $8 a share, or let's say under $10, is territory that, you know, Ford just hasn't been in for a decade. So their most recent earnings last week, their profit margin was higher than what the street was expecting. But it still is awful. And again, it's the lack of clarity from Hackett. I mean, what he'll say is, which he did last week, he said, this is kind of a bigger job than I thought it was going to be or than people expect. So he's showing a little bit of cluelessness there that it obviously makes investors uncomfortable. And these new products, such as the Bronco, the new Ranger, some new SUVs that Lincoln has coming out, they're going to help a lot. But meanwhile, you know, the market is leveled off in the U.S. There are problems around the world, and it's just not the kind of environment that's promising for Ford to, you know, figure out what to do.
How long do you think he has to get things going in the right direction? A year, 2 years, a shorter time than that?
I'm going to say not, certainly not longer than that. I mean, again, the guy was hailed as a kind of a turnaround guy, a different sort of leader for the industry, somebody, a thinker. You know, he gives TED Talks, that sort of thing. But I would say within a year, you know, investors are just, at this price, investors are saying, hey, you really have a lot to prove to us. And in with this kind of stakes, I mean, you know, certainly 2019 is crucial for Jim Hackett.
I have to tell you, the ads, you know, I've seen a couple of them. They do have the feels. They give you that Ford feel, sort of a patriotic feel almost. So that they have that going for it.
Yeah, and Ford does have this, as you mentioned at the outset, this proud heritage. I mean, they're a manufacturer. They make stuff. They make some great vehicles. So that stuff is all there, and it's just waiting for a leadership vision to say, okay, here's how we're taking the brand equity we have, the regard of the American people, this great product lineup. Here's how it all ties together. It's going to make sense, and it's going to take us into a leadership position in the future. And we're still just kind of waiting for the details, I guess.
Dale, good stuff this morning. Thanks for being with us about your story in Forbes at Forbes.com.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Dale Buss with us from Michigan this morning, contributor at Chief Executive Magazine at Forbes. This story, again, appears in Forbes at Forbes.com. We'll link out to it along with the podcast of the program a little bit later this morning at WGNradio.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening gains later on Wall Street. Dow futures up about a third. NASDAQ and S&P futures are up more than 0.5%. NASDAQ futures approaching almost a full percent. Gold and silver are lower this morning. Now with agriculture and commodities, good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, we ended the 91st annual convention of the National FFA Organization on Saturday afternoon at the final session. The new FFA officer team was introduced after the vote that selected the national officer team. Then we have the September milk production figures in the 23 top dairy states in for the month of September, up 1.5% from a year ago. Production in the top five dairy states, California up 4.8%, Wisconsin up 2%, Idaho up 1.6%, New York up 0.8%, and Michigan down 2%. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Monday, October 29th. We'll get a report on personal income and outlays. The Dallas Fed Manufacturing Survey also due today. Some Fed speakers, including Chicago Fed President Charles Evans. It's a busy week for earnings, beginning today with Mondelez International from Deerfield, the snack maker, Oreo cookies among them. Winston earnings as well today. Wingstop earnings today. And then as we look ahead to the rest of the week, Tribune tomorrow, along with Coca-Cola and Hyatt, Fiat Chrysler as well, eBay. Then on Wednesday, Allstate, Anthem, Yum Brands, Clorox, General Motors, Pandora Media. Thursday, Apple, Progressive, CBS, Starbucks. And on Friday, Chevron, Exxon, and United States Steel Corporation. We'll also get the jobs report coming on Friday, along with the latest in consumer sentiment as well. So lots of things that could move the markets as we move through this week here on the Opening Bell and on Wall Street.